Incredibly, there are some people today that don't believe in the need for a Savior, let alone one who rose from the dead. Now, I try not to get political, but I'm not naming names, but there's one U.S. senator who calls himself a Christian minister, has been recorded as saying this: "The meaning of Easter is more transcendent than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a Christian or not, through a commitment to helping others, we are able to save ourselves." Thank you, Ken. He said, "Huh." And that's exactly what is the thought here. Unbelievable. I have to wonder where this man's faith is, for it's certainly not in Jesus Christ. And we cannot, no matter how hard we try, ever save ourselves. God knew that, and that's why he sent his son to go through torture and death, only to be raised from the dead. Praise God, we have the testimonies of eyewitnesses who have seen that Jesus rose from the dead. I was watching a documentary on the resurrection on the Science Channel, and they showed physical and scientific proof of the earthquake that coincided with Jesus' crucifixion. But as many good things that these documentaries bring up, they also share some absurd claims. Many of these claims show a real agnostic attitude and a tremendous lack of faith. And these people are called experts. And Ken, would you say, "Huh," again, please? Exactly. Thank you, Ken. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, our Lord Jesus spoke of his resurrection, including two of his greatest parables, which ended with a reference to coming back from the dead. In the parable of the prodigal son, the father rejoices because his son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus ends with these words: "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." And that's Luke 16:31. Ironically, nobody heard what Jesus was saying. They were puzzled, and I guess understandably, the resurrection in the first century Jewish world was what God would do in the end for all the righteous dead, giving new bodies to everyone, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, on down to the most recent righteous martyrs. Though people could speak of a prophet like Elijah or John the Baptist returning from the dead, they think what they probably meant was that someone could come who seemed to have the same spirit as well as the same fiery prophecy. Now consider the event recorded in John chapter 11. When Jesus' friend Martha came to meet Jesus along the road when her brother Lazarus had died. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered that, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, and I want you to hear these words, plain and clear. Jesus said, "I am," and I'll stop there. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Who said "I am"? The burning bush to Moses. The name of God, "I am." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Well, the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. The word Christ is a Greek word for Messiah, Christos, Greek, and it's also the same word in Hebrew, Messiah or Mashiach. So whenever you hear Jesus Christ, it's really saying Jesus Messiah. So she said, "In essence, I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." They believed that after Israel's great and final suffering, all of God's people would be given new life and new bodies. Can you imagine their surprise and astonishment on that first Easter morning? Deacon Bob read about what happened at the tomb. My goodness, it wasn't simply a lack of faith that prevented them from understanding what Jesus had said about rising again. It was just that nobody ever dreamed that one single living person could be killed and then raised to a new sort of bodily life, while the rest of the world continued on their merry way, living their lives. The women who went to the tomb on that Sunday morning certainly weren't expecting what they found. They were bringing the spices to dress the body, but what they saw was opposed to what they knew. They knew that people remained dead. The resurrection is recorded not once, but in all four Gospels. And when you read those accounts, you realize Jesus did not roll away the stone. That's what I told the kids. It was done supernaturally. Whether it was the angels or God's hand, the stone moved and Jesus walked out of the tomb, triumphantly walking out of that borrowed tomb. It belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. The stone was moved so that witnesses who saw it could report that the tomb was empty. The mood on that first Easter morning was one of surprise, astonishment, fear, and probably a whole lot of confusion. The apostles were probably remembering that Jesus did say something like this was going to occur, but they still didn't know what really was going on, what it all meant, and what would happen next. They would find out, truly, on the day of Pentecost. Many people look upon the season of Lent, which we just left, as a season of drudgery, you know, and they can't wait for it to be over. They're thinking about chocolate. I took care of some of the kids today with the chocolate. Well, there's more than just chocolate in there. A lot of people are thinking about how much they miss the A word, the alleluias. Well, you can let them fly today because we're rejoicing. And there'll be a few more in the service. Holy Week is a necessity because we need to be reminded of the tremendous price that Jesus paid and to always remember that he did it willingly. Miraculously, Jesus walked out of the tomb, alive again. To Satan's surprise and dismay, now he may have thought he won the battle on Good Friday, but lost it all on Easter Sunday. Folks, your bill has been taken care of. From the beginning, the gospel is good news of Jesus Christ because it dares to tell us things we didn't expect, weren't inclined to believe in the first place, and possibly couldn't understand. The truth is, Jesus of Nazareth paid the price that was owed by each of our sins. He paid the ransom in our place to free us from the ravages of sin and death. And he did it willingly. I pray that today more and more people will come to the realization that this was personal, that your name was on his mind, the name of all believers. And if you think it for a second, well, how could somebody have that? Remember who he is. He's God. And we shouldn't put him in a box or try to put him into some sort of little container. He's bigger than we could ever imagine. Again, your bill has been taken care of. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you find out that somebody paid your bill ahead of you just to be able to treat you? If that's ever happened, we had it happen in a different sense. When we were in seminary, we pulled up to a toll booth to pay the bill or to pay the toll on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And we were told that the person ahead of us paid our toll. So you know what we did. We paid the toll for the person behind us. You know, pass it on. Amazing. I pray that people would see Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, and that you would all invite him into your hearts. I know a lot of people are here on a Sunday because you're believers, but there's a lot of people who are online that might be on the fence. And if you are, our prayers are that you would find Jesus in your heart today because you've invited him in. Now, as we celebrated the Passover Seder on Monday, Thursday, and many of you who were there are here today, along with several from St. Mark's Methodist Church, those who were present witnessed how God used the Passover to repeatedly point toward the sacrifice of Jesus as the Lamb of God would withstand for the salvation of all mankind. During the Seder dinner is a blessing of the unleavened bread, which we know as matzah, which has stripes on it and is pierced. How many here have ever had a piece of matzah? Yeah, it's really good with butter, I should tell you. But we didn't have it with butter at the Seder. But look at it, or a picture of matzah. There are stripes on it and there are piercings. And it does not have any yeast in it. People have been doing this for thousands of years, taking three pieces of matzah and putting them into a special pouch, one on top, one in the middle, and one on the bottom. The middle piece of the matzah is then taken out, and it's broken. And this is called the afikomen. The afikomen means the coming one. One half of that middle matzah is then wrapped, broken, and wrapped in linen, and then hidden, to be later found by a child who is given a ransom. They're given a reward for finding that middle piece of matzah. Just like you guys, when you came up, you got a reward, okay? And that's the same type of thing. I have to ask you something. For thousands of years, Jewish people have been seeing three pieces of matzah put into this pouch and not get it. The top one is the Father. The middle one, who is broken and ransomed, is the Son. And the third piece is the Holy Spirit. They just haven't seen it yet. But one day, God will take the veil away from their eyes. Our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrate the fact that they sacrificed the perfect lamb, took the blood of the lamb with a branch of hyssop, painted their doorposts so that the angel of death would pass over. They would be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Today we celebrate that we are saved by the blood of the perfect Lamb of God. Today, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, is the culmination of the total forgiveness of our sins when we trust and turn to Jesus as our Redeemer, our Passover Lamb. Today's filled with total forgiveness, with love, with relationship, and with mercy. Mercy means not getting what you deserve. And God's mercy is so powerful that it overcomes the huge debt that humanity has rung up, and he pays the bill in our place. And the Apostle Paul puts it this way so beautifully in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, as we celebrate this amazing gift, let us all give thanks for Jesus' sacrifice, his resurrection, and his promise to come again. Your bill has been taken care of.